In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus instructs us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I want you to think about the statement. What's He saying to seek? The kingdom of God. You know, in Matthew 6, He talks about, earlier here, He talks about what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, that you pray that God's kingdom come here on earth and that His will be done as it is in heaven. Well, how does God's kingdom get on earth? If His kingdom gets on earth by us accepting the King of the kingdom, who is Jesus Christ, right? So we accept Jesus into our hearts, but that's not automatic. That's where it starts. By accepting Jesus, that gives us the ability to see the kingdom of God. He said, I'm the door, right? You have to go through the door. It's not enough just to talk about Jesus and just to say, I believe in Jesus. But what are we doing with Jesus? And for the most part, the true believers in Jesus are actually holding Jesus on the inside. I just happened to think I've got a cell phone in my pocket that I better make sure I've got muted here. Don't want that thing to be going off, right? And so, am I just holding Jesus in me? Or am I letting Jesus do what Jesus wants to do? Now there's a purging that has to take place in us as individuals, to where we get the things that are hindering God out of the way, to where God can be God. There's also a purging in the church, to where, or any ministry, to where things that are hindering what God wants to do has to be gotten out of the way. Now, all that's not sin. Some of it is just not sharing the vision God has. If I'm not seeing like God sees and pursuing what God's pursuing, then I'm actually hindering God from doing what He wants to do. And in any organization, it's extremely important that the people unify and work together. But if you think about it, in most any organization, and it's certainly in the church, there are some who try to subvert. That's very prevalent. And it's done in such a deceptive way that a lot of times the people that are doing it don't even realize that they're an emissary of the devil. They're actually under the influence of the devil. What it does is breaks a unity. And we know that a house divided doesn't stand. So does Satan. You see what's going on in the nation? It's trying to divide the nation so the nation can't stand. The same thing happens in a church. Just little small things, little gossip sessions and things like that, that subvert the will of God. It gets people's attention on the wrong thing. This morning, you know, after I got here this morning, I just heard this. People are consumed with the kingdom of the world. Right now, what's going on in the world has captivated the attention of most people. And he said they are paying little to no attention to the kingdom of God. But what are we told to seek? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God. But isn't it interesting that people are pursuing the kingdom of the world, not the kingdom of God? They're letting the kingdom of the world grab their attention. They're letting the kingdom of the world dominate their thinking. God said, seek the kingdom of God first. First, not secondary, first. And if you seek the kingdom of God first, you won't be seeking secondary things. God will captivate your attention. And then it reminded me of this, that both Israel and the United States of America came out of another nation by choice. By choice. You can come out of the world, but it'll be by choice. God's not going to make you. It's a choice that each of us have to make. We choose the God and the dominion we serve. Now, people are born with the spirit of the world. That's their nature. It's dominated by the spirit of the world. We're called children of disobedience at that time. Okay? When a person's born again, they get rid of the spirit of the world, or supposed to take on the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of us. And if you're being led by the Spirit, you will not be dominated by the kingdom of the world. And so it's not very difficult to find out what is dominating your life. Is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world? How do I know what has my attention? That's what's dominating me, whatever has my attention. A time for choice is here. It's not coming. It's here. And we've got a very short time. We're going to have to make this choice right now. Which kingdom will you choose? What will you give your attention to? That's what's going to captivate you. And anything that captivates you, listen to the root word, captivate, captive. Anything that captivates your attention has you captive. And a captive is in bondage. Right? And so when the world captivates your attention, you're in bondage to the world. The church for many, many years has been in bondage to the world. The world has captivated the church's attention to where the church is out here trying to compete with the world. The church is bringing the world systems and things into it, trying to build dynasties, compromising, not being led by the Spirit of God. Where in the book of Acts do you see them using gimmicks to get people? I'm going to tell you what got people's attention on the Lord Jesus Christ was the gospel message of Jesus and the power of God confirming that, signs following the message. Why aren't signs following? Because we haven't been submitted to the kingdom of God. I'll just be fair with you. For the last few weeks, I have been frustrated with the way things are not going. I've been talking to the Lord about it. And I've just said, I feel... You do the next week and you see zero change. And God keeps bringing forth the same message in different ways. I want people submitted to my kingdom. I want to rule their lives. I don't want the world. The Lord gave me this little sort of mini vision, if you will, of my grandparents were farmers. And back then they used the mule. They did get a tractor there later on, but they still did most of the work, or a lot of the work, with a mule and a horse. And so I remember, and this is what I was seeing, how you get that mule standing still, or horse, And you start harnessing it. You put the bridle, the bit, the reins, and all these things on. You get that mule in a position to where you can hook him up to an implement, whether it be a plow, a wagon, a sled, whatever the case is. And the Lord said, that's what I've called you to do. Guess who the mules are? And some of them are acting like it. But he said what he called me to do was to get you harnessed and to get you hooked up to the implements. In other words, the implements is the gifts and the abilities that God has put on the inside of you, to where you're actually hooked up to that, to where it's not just something you're carrying, it's something you're working with. It's something that's actually producing. You understand, when you hook that mule up to that plow, you get him in that field, he's producing. There's something productive taking place. Or when you hook him to that wagon and you load that wagon down, he's moving a burden from one location to another location. Something productive is taking place. He's not just carrying something to carry it. And a lot of people have gifts and abilities on the inside of them, but they're not releasing these gifts and abilities. The implement, if you will, just think of your gifts and your abilities as an implement. It's there to do something. Not just to say, I could, or I have something, but what are you doing with what you have? You have Jesus in you, what are you doing with Jesus? Him being dormant in you is not doing anybody else any good. And the Scriptures teach us that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached all over the world as a witness to all nations before the end comes. And that's our role. Don't just say, well, that's the preacher's role. You're the preacher. Everybody in here has the ability to tell what Jesus has done for you. You have the ability to talk about the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's dominion. And God needs people all over the world talking to people, not gossiping, but giving them good news. Give them something that will change their life in a positive way. Not something that divides, but something that unites. God wants us all united around the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, if we'll focus our attention on the kingdom of God and the king of that kingdom, Jesus, we won't have time to be over here feeling sorry for ourselves and talking about this and talking about that. We'll all have one message. And that's going to be Jesus Christ, Him crucified and raised from the dead, and established a kingdom here, right on our now for this time. And I'm going to tell you, those who follow the spirit of the world are going to be in that kingdom. Those who follow the spirit of God are going to be in the kingdom of God. In other words, it's just simply meaning God rules. Either the spirit of the world rules you, or the spirit of God rules you. And I will tell you this, that just listening to conversation, that most Christians are ruled by the spirit of the world, because that's what dominates their conversation. Listen to them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it God coming out of your mouth, or is it the world coming out of your mouth? God's wanted to mobilize His body to where we go forth with a message. The psalm says, we're the army of the Lord. Can you imagine the army going out and not having weapons? What are they going to do? No, God has equipped us with spiritual warfare weapons, you understand, which is the Word of God is our offensive weapon. And it's also our defensive weapon. We arm ourselves, excuse me, with the Word of God. Now, if I'm armed with the Word of God, you know what's going to govern me? the Word of God. I'll be listening to the Word, God's Word. I'll be listening to God's kingdom. I'll be focused on His kingdom, not the kingdoms of the world. We've got to get our attention on God. Isn't it amazing that we're having to tell believers, believe, get your attention on God. Get your attention off of what's going on around you and listen to God. I was thinking this morning, people are more in tune, they want to hear the prophets, but what about the Holy Spirit? What if we'd give time to God, get along with God, start praying and listening to the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God will talk to you if you'll give Him time. The Word of God will talk to you if you give it time. And I'm not minimizing the prophets. The prophets have a major role to play. You understand? And I appreciate the gifts. But they're not gods to worship. You understand? And a lot of people don't even understand prophecy anyway. And they go off on the deep end and talk about how all the prophets failed, the word didn't come to pass, and all this type stuff. Because you don't know the ways of God. If you're going to understand prophecy, you're going to have to know the ways of God. That God doesn't do it your way. But I'll tell you what He does do. He announces before it comes to pass. He said He won't do anything without He first revealed it to His servants, the prophets. Do you understand? So I'm not minimizing that. I'm just telling you, get your attention on the Word of God. Get your attention on the Spirit of God. Don't follow the spirit of the world. Follow the Spirit of God. Get your mind on your citizenship in heaven rather than out here. This is temporary. That's eternal, you understand. And we're putting all our attention on the temporary and little to no attention on the eternal. And I'm going to tell you this. Sheep, true sheep, live by faith, not by sight. They live by faith. Now, if you think about this, sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. Real basic. Very basic. You see that in the natural, but Jesus used that natural thing to teach a spiritual truth. Those who are of God listen to God. Who are you listening to? You think about it. Those who are of God listen to God. Those who are of the world listen to the world. Am I truly sold out to God? If I'm sold out to God, why am I letting all this other stuff influence me? Do I not believe God? Do I not trust God? Do I not follow the lead of the shepherd when He says, go here? Am I willing to go there? When He says, say this, am I willing to say it? Or do I say, well, if I say that, what will they think? I'll tell you this, we're going to have to get they out of our thinking and get Him as a focal point of our thinking. I already know by Scripture that God's kingdom is going to prevail. I know that the kingdom of the world is going to become the kingdom of my God. I already know that. So why not submit to Him now? Why submit to a kingdom that's going to be defeated? God's wanting us to wake up and learn some things. You know, in Revelation, the 11th chapter, He says, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God. In Revelation 19:6, He says, I'm going to just use one portion here. Our God reigns. The Lord God, actually it says the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You know what that means? There is nobody more powerful. the Lord God all-powerful reigns. He's not waiting to reign. He already reigns right now. God's in control of things. He's just letting the people out here gather themselves up for separation. And that's what's going on right now. God told us at the beginning of the year it was going to happen. There was going to be separation. The separation is in progress right now. It's not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord." You're seeing sheep being separated. Those who are truly following God, those who are sold out to God, not those who are living in panic, worrying about what's going on. For the day as he was in January of last year. And his word is true and God doesn't change. He said, I'm not a son of man that I have to repent. If I say it, I can do it. And that's the kingdom you want to submit to. But what are you pursuing? Will you be dominated by the natural or by the spiritual? Most people are dominated by the natural. Because the spiritual is sort of a new thing. You understand? And because you can't see it, we've been programmed all our lives natural. And because we can't see it, we don't think it's real. Not realizing that what you don't see brought into existence what you do see. And that same principle works with you if you'll use the principle. Stop calling things that are as though they are. That's the way the world thinks. Well, I'm sick. As long as you're agreeing with it, you'll have it. Well, what do you want me to do? Lie? No, it'd be good to shut your mouth if you're talking. The natural is dominating. Do you know faith always prevails? Faith always prevails. But you have to hold on to it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you reap. In due season. In due season. Who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We're in the patient period. Are you going to hold on to your faith or are you going to let it go? Are you going to let the devil talk you out of what God's given you? You know, that's where a lot of people are in the world. They're just throwing up their hands and say, "Well, I thought it was going to be like this. It's not like this." Well, you know, God failed. The devil's more powerful than God. Now, they wouldn't dare say it with their mouth in that way, but they say it with their mouth in other ways. My God has not failed me. And He hasn't failed this nation. He's not going to. He's not going to. Well, what if? Get your mind off of the what ifs and get your mind on the kingdom of God. God doesn't do things your way and He doesn't do it in your time. And January the 20th means absolutely nothing to God. Look at how interested it means everything to everybody else. You watch, God's word will come to pass. Amen? But what are you pursuing? And that's what most people are saying today. Elisha said, "You'll see it, but you won't partake of it." You know what happened? The next day they had plenty of food, and the king's aide saw it and was trampled to death. And never enjoyed it. get that negative talk out of your mouth. And the way you get the negative talk out is start with your mind. You got to get the negativity out of your mind and get to thinking positively. And I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about thinking like God thinks. God's positive. And when you get the Word of God in you and you start thinking like the Word, you start talking like the Word, then your conversation will be positive, not negative. It'll be productive for the kingdom of God. The problem with the church is most of them, if they did witness, it was a bad witness. Because they hadn't got their doctrine right. They're not thinking like God. They're thinking like a denomination or some organization. They go out and talk the wrong thing. I'm telling you right now, I am adamant that my God reigns. I am adamant that I'm in a kingdom that cannot be overthrown. You understand? And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And you've got to get to that point to where you're in God's kingdom. You're controlled by God's kingdom. You're not controlled by the world. Understanding that my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory has nothing to do with Wall Street. It has nothing to do with the world. It has everything to do with the resources of His kingdom. You understand? Make certain you're pursuing the right thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm not even going to finish the last part. I'm going to put all the emphasis on the seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you get captivated with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you'll close the door to the devil. Amen? Make sure you're pursuing the right thing. That was number two. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You flee before You. Amen. Have a great day. That's a choice.